Hey, Coach, I just want to ask, what have you seen from Demetrius Hunter at that center position and his experience coming over from Houston?
Seeing a guy who's hardworking, trying to really master what we're trying to teach him. He's learning how to read and discover the defense, understanding the safety rotations. But as Coach Gunner said before, no one's earned a spot, and we still got a great battle at the center position. So I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the energy. I'm enjoying the focus. I'm enjoying the fight from everybody. And again, we don't give you anything. You have to earn it and take it.
Right. So with that, you talk about the competition. How's Sean doing as he moves up from a different level and trying to compete for that spot?
He's been steadily growing and improving every single day. I think he had one of his best practices, I believe. We have to look at the paper and look at the film and grade him. But he's constantly trying to ask questions, understanding details. Like I said, it's going to be a great battle at the center position, and we'll see who takes that job.
You got with both those guys, you have a ton of college experience, a lot of snaps. How much does that help that you've got that in your room? They know what they're doing.
It helps a lot. It helps a lot because it helps from the standpoint of them understanding the game. Now it's the nuances and the details that they need to understand for them to grow and become better players.
Both the guys you have battling for the center spot have played a lot of football, played a lot of snaps.
Yes,
how valuable is that for either of those guys, for Juju, or for a young quarterback who's still kind of getting acclimated to this
game? I think it makes them feel a little bit more comfortable. I think it makes him feel better because those guys are guys that you can get on. They have to get things straight. They have to take the leadership role. And he feels comfortable because him himself being a leader, he can talk to the guys and get the message across to everyone else.
I just want to ask you on a personal level, how much you've enjoyed the last year being back in Boulder. I mean, we asked you when you first got here, but it's been a year. Have you enjoyed it?
It's been absolutely amazing. It's not the same place that it was when I was here, but I think every morning I get up, I see a different view of the mountains. And I fall in love with the place all over again. So it's been a great, and it's been a blessing to be back.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thank
you. Coach.
Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Munster Tiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, on the new On3 Rivals Network, which is now running a special right now for 4 months for $1 to join us. And if you haven't joined us yet, you're missing out on some great content. And these guys here have been helping me create some of that great content. I love a roundtable feature every week. William Gardner, football analyst for BuffStampede.com, and welcoming back in to our show, Will Burnett. Gentlemen, how you guys doing?
Good. I'm working with some new technology here. I'm using my phone as a spotlight, so not that anybody wants to see this, but there it is.
You're not alone, William. My computer, it feels like the more they say technology is advancing, the harder it seems to get to navigate. My computer was giving me fits this morning too, so we're all on the same page.
Hey, I thought we agreed last time. The next time you come on here, you'd be shaved. What the hell?
Did we make that agreement?
I thought that's what it was. No,
we said 2027.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, we said 2027. I'll have to check the contract, but I'm pretty sure it was 2027. I can't let it go yet.
We'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna need the training class and all that.
Will's looking really good in that On3 hoodie over there.
Yeah, you got to rep the new camp. And it's $1
for
4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
That's insane. That's crazy. That's four quarters, y'all. Get on that. Get on that subscription. We're pumping out incredible content, and it's $1. Let's go. We got Buffs content to do.
I meant to put on my Bronx Zoo t-shirt in honor of our newest member of the team, but I forgot to do it. So we'll do it in spirit.
In due time.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to break down film of Colorado's new JUCO edition. We're going to break down week 3 spring ball. But first, we're going to preview this coming Saturday's, Black and Gold Day for the Colorado Buffaloes. It's sponsored by AT&T. There's some fun events going on for kids around there. When my kids were younger, they really enjoyed going to those events. And so it's a fun day. And I'm curious what you guys are most excited about? We're not going to talk about players right now because I got to readjust this in terms of the topics, but I want to know what you're most excited to see on Saturday.
Well, first of all, Dean Nice on the message board said hello and revived our various nicknames.
What's going on there? Break it down for me.
You know, the great, that's him. That needs no explanation, right? Will the Thrill. I thought it was Will the Younger, but I don't remember how we were going to work that out. But
now, you know what? Will the Thrill's not bad. Sir William the Great, I like that. King Adam, I'm actually kind of D Nice. I'm actually kind of rocking with that. You might have gotten it there.
Yeah. Is it your sister or your girlfriend that comes on with you sometimes?
That was my older sister. That was my older sister. Yeah, avid Buffs fan too. Buffs fanatic. All the above.
Yeah, she come on, and then, you know, we got the three ugly beasts and the beauty. So
no, that's not. I don't even know if I would want to get into those nicknames because she would probably outshine me. So I gotta keep her at a distance a little bit.
So what was that question again? Getting back to reality.
Yeah, what is the first thing you're looking forward to, non-player personnel wise, with Saturday spring game?
I don't know. Spring games are, you never quite know what you're going to get. You're going to get a real game. You know, you're going to get a glorified practice. I think we're going to get a format. They pick teams, so they'll play against each other. It'll be interesting to be, you know, to have a full couple hours or whatever to see what they're doing and how people are doing, and see, you know, are they competent on offense? Does defensive line look like they can hold their own? But, you know, you're always kind of handicapped in these things because if one side looks good, you just don't know. Does that mean they're good or is the other side no good? So I think it's just fun to sort of see that offense. I want to see that offense, see what they're doing with it, and see what Marv is doing with that defense. So really, we've got a lot of question marks with two new coordinators. So I just want to see what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like William said, I think with such a revamped coaching staff, we've got two new coordinators. I think it's the elephant in the room. I think I speak for a lot of Buffs fans. We want to see what the offense looks like. I want to see who's running the helmet quarterback. I want to see how fluid the offense looks. I want to see what our offensive line looks like. It's going to be extremely important this year. And you know, a lot of tackles coming in at the defensive a lot of transfers coming in, defensive tackle all through the defense. I just want to see how we look. Of course, you can only get so much from a spring game. And I don't believe they're going to show us all they have in a spring game. But you would like to see some sort of fluidity with on both sides of the ball. I'm looking for a good turnout. You know, I think last year ended in a little bit of disappointment. If we can get some fan engagement, and like you said, Adam, there's a lot of events going through leading up to the spring game. If we can get a decent turnout this spring game and get the energy going, I think that says something too about the program.
Yeah, I'd like to see some continuity on offense. You know, are we not? And I don't expect to finish up a polished product now, but you know, are they having trouble getting the plays in? Is it going to be the fast tempo like they promised us, you know, or are they getting delay of games or anything like that? And then just the I'm going to keep an eye on, because it's been a big deal for the first 3 years of Coach Prime era is the, the chemistry or the camaraderie of the team, you know, because didn't have it year one, results showed it. Did have it year two, results showed it. Didn't have it last year, results showed it. So I think they made a very specific effort to bring in guys through the transfer portal who they thought would fit and be leaders and work well together. We've been hearing good things about it, so I want to see how they all work together.
For me, first off, I'm excited that this is the first spring game of the Coach Prime era where there hasn't been a second transfer portal window. So you don't have this mass exodus. You're not like sitting there in the stands wondering if these guys are going to be back. I mean, no one's forcing them to stay in Boulder, but You're not getting eligibility somewhere else this year. So that part of it feels a little bit different this year. Every time I go to Folsom Field, it doesn't matter if it was 2022 when they were miserable. You just get a feeling when you get there. And so anytime you get in there and you get to see live football, I enjoy it. I love my colleague Ryan Konigsberg's comparison. He said the spring game is like eggnog. It's like you wait all year to try it and you have it and it's okay, but it's not going to blow your mind. You got to kind of go in with those expectations. And so I enjoy the spring game. I'm one of those football geeks that just enjoys getting around the game.
It's springtime in Boulder. I don't know if it gets much better than that, just from an aesthetics point of view. You're watching football. You're in beautiful Boulder, Colorado. Hopefully the weather report looks good, but whatever the team is looking like, that might come secondary to you just looking around and saying, wow, look at how beautiful all of this is. And that's the best part about spring games for sure, especially in Colorado. You really can't beat that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if given the drought winter we've had with no rain and no snow, if it rains or snows on Saturday, we know it's about CU football now.
It's perfect. Well, it's crazy because, yeah, a couple of days ago, they were projecting really cool temperatures and almost like borderline sleet for the spring game. I looked an hour ago on Weather Underground, and now they're predicting 71 degrees at 1 p.m., which is when the spring showcase is set to kick off with 7 mph winds. That would be a glorious afternoon at Folsom Field, but I feel like that's going to go ebb and flow like the next – it's going to go back and forth the next few days. I don't think they can really project the forecast in Boulder this far out.
Yeah. And just to respond to Patrick on the chat there, I think we all realize that you're going to get a very vanilla – showing from both sides of the ball, because who's going to, you know, first of all, they're only 4 weeks into inputting their new systems. And secondly, nobody's going to show anything really crazy in the spring game. You know, one advantage we'll have next year is that to some extent, people won't know what we're going to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate the super chat in your support of the podcast here.
I agree. I think this is going to be important to show, especially because the reason I'm going to show grace is I'm not really sure what to look for. I'm hearing good things. I'm seeing good things, but I haven't seen it all in one connected offense versus defense. So I think you're right, Patrick. Giving grace and having patience is important. But I'm also anxious and excited to see, we got a lot of new players coming in. I'm excited to see them too.
I'm also expecting, and this is going to sound odd, I guess, but some different level of professionalism. You know, we've got two coordinators now who are career college guys and get what this is about. And I don't know, I think our offensive coordinator last couple of years was what we called in the Navy Road, retired on active duty. But and the defensive coordinator wasn't super, you know, active. I watched those videos, you know, of practice now. And George Hilo looks like somebody gave him helium, man. And then he's just bouncing around and the new defensive tackles coach is yelling, carrying on. And
Dante Carter has got energy he should be able to bottle up and sell, I think.
You know, one thing I noticed, like, so if you watch that opening we had with Andre Giroud, and if I don't know, this is going to sound, I noticed the weirdest thing, but you know, behind him, they got that backdrop, right? And there's rows of logos. And Andre Giroud comes up almost to the top line of logos. And then Carter came in after him, was like three rows down.
He maximized his ability as a player.
Yeah.
Himself. Yeah.
You're talking about optimization. That's that right there on video for sure.
Well, for that matter, you know, you had this photograph, if I can get it in there, to go along with this podcast. I looked at that photograph, and at first I thought that was Kalon Taylor with a defensive tackle. And it's Michael Welch, man. I was like, damn.
Bowling ball. Dude, just roll him downhill. Just roll him downhill in this go-go. Yeah. So the go-go is going to be very vanilla, but they're still going to run kind of their base concepts out of that scheme, right?
Oh yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, what we've seen in practice a little bit so far, I think, you know, I think everybody pretty, I would imagine if anybody feels differently, please throw it in the chat. But I think all of us kind of believe that this team is going to rise and fall on that offense next fall. And so I think there's a lot to what they do that's just changing the formation a little bit or something like that. And every play has really three options off of it. You know, I saw one play on one of the videos that was a straight old school triple option, except it wasn't out of a wishbone or anything else. You know, they had two backs back there. One back was the dive and the other back was the pitch man with the quarterback. I was like, my God, that's the wishbone. You know,
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then you can throw out of that. Yeah, they can throw out of that and everything. So this thing has a little bit of everything, and I don't think they've got it all even put in yet, close to it.
Yeah, it's asking for a quick turnaround. You're right. This is not kind of a staple offense that you see a lot in college football. There's a few schools who have always traditionally had their own unique offense. I can think of Georgia Tech when I think of, you know, a school like that who mm-hmm. runs an offense. You know, Navy also runs kind of their own specific unique offense. For the first time really in a long time, I think Colorado hopefully is going to have their own unique way of playing, and I think in the Big 12 it can give some team fits.
Yeah, because you got to prepare for that, you got to do special practice for it, and it's not gonna be the same as everybody else does, you know. So yep. I don't know, you know, Alabama under Nick Saban was sort of, you know, they would line up five 350 pound offensive linemen, you know, with 3-inch splits and just bulldoze you, you know.
Yeah.
And you knew what they were going to do, which brings up a question. People keep asking me, like, what does the Go-Go need a different kind of offensive lineman? Well, it needs a different kind of offensive lineman than that. But basically, really what you need guards that can move and pull, you know. And I noticed they're playing a lot. They're trying almost everybody at guard. A little bit, it looks like to me. Not, and I don't think that means that they think they're missing a guard. I think they just want to see who can do what.
Yeah.
So our guy Leo Rivera does a great job of corralling all of us each week for the round table feature that he puts out there. And it's been well received since our move to On3 on BuffStampede.com. I thought the first question of this podcast was going to be, who are the top five Buffs you were anxious to see in action on Saturday spring game? His question was basically the same. And I saw that after I sent it out. So sit on your answer for that round table, but give me the four other guys that you would have on that list. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we can't ruin Leo's feature.
You got one of those buttons you can and it will just be, and then
just leave it out.
Like if we were cussing or something. Well, I know you don't have that.
I really am anxious to see what everybody else's picks were.
Yeah.
But for this feature, I don't want to ruin one of the stories we're going to have coming up on the site this week.
Well, I think. Without giving my answer away, I'll give two other guys that I'm anxious to see. One being the obvious, I'm going to leave him out. I want to see what Isaac Wilson is doing. I've been hearing a lot of really, really promising things, and he's taking a lot of eyeballs. And then Keneal, Sweetwine? How do we pronounce
it? Sweetwine.
Sweetwine. That's a cool Sweet last time. Name. That's a brand deal waiting to happen once he gets going.
Send him an email. Tell him, hey, man, I came up with a nickname for you, Sweet Time.
Oh, no. I mean, I can think of three products already that once he gets that going, there's going to be NIL money going straight to him. But right. I've been here.
We're talking about Boone's Farm and Mad Dog and things like that.
Sweet Time. Exactly. Exactly. I hear that the quarterback room, even though obviously very young, a lot of them are competing, and as we know that in that go-go offense, that's going to be the premier position anyway in football. But I'm looking to see how they're able to adjust to this new offense. Like you said, William, there's potentially three different options of what you can do on a lot of different plays.
Yeah.
That's a lot of processing for a quarterback. So it's not now, can you make the throw? It's Can you process? Can you make the read and then make the correct decision off of that? But I'm hearing really amazing things from obviously the Utah transfer, Isaac Wilson and Keneal. So I want to see what that leadership looks like, and I want to see how they're throwing the ball and processing the offense out there.
Yeah, and I'm an idiot again, apparently. Mr. Bingham just loves me to death, but I do know what I'm talking about, brother, and they do a pin and pull. They do a lot of pin and pull blocking schemes in this offense, so they do pull those guards. Doesn't mean they do it on every single play, but there's a lot of different things that they do in this offense. Mostly their primary bread and butter is zone blocking, play side zone blocking, backside zone blocking with counter and things like that. So there's a lot of different things they do to it.
Who are you looking forward to seeing on Saturday, William?
I put down out of the five, offensive line and defensive line as two of them because I can't pick any one guy out of that group. I guess I'd like to see Demetrius Hunt and how he's doing and Sean Kenny and how they're doing to the center spot. But the guy, I probably changed my vote from who I had number one, but I think the guy I'd like to see is Quincy Wiggins at 295.
Mm-hmm.
See how he moves with that added weight, and because if he maintains that athleticism with that added size, he could be a load in there.
Well, your eyes will be on the trenches. I'm going to be looking at some skill guys. Danny Scudero, I just want to see him in person for the first time. We did an interview with him, but not a guy that's going to impress you from a physicality standpoint, but you just watch his footwork. The way that he maneuvers short area quickness, I just want to see that in person for the first time. I mean, that is an elite slot receiver right there. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that. Ernest Campbell, also a receiver, maybe the fastest player in college football, as his coach told us. Just to see that speed on Folsom Field will be fun. Emmanuel Iziogu, can he flash a little bit? He's somebody that has got a high ceiling, kind of a low floor too, and you don't know where he's going to factor in. Nate Mitchell, we keep hearing about his playmaking ability all spring in the secondary. Can he turn some heads with fans in the stadium? And then Randon Fontanet, can he look well in that box safety role? We know he has the size and physicality. I want to see how he moves in that role.
And how they use them and how they plug them into the defense and run the defense around him. But, on the offensive side, outside of the tight end room, every room's got so many potential stars in it, it's hard to pick any one out of any one of those rooms. Running backs, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers. I mean, I personally like big backs, so, I want to watch Damian Henderson and Richard Young, and not for nothing, but every photograph of the running backs, Richard Long looks like freaking Godzilla compared to the rest of those dudes, man. Holy big crap.
Boys out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. Those backs, they've not only are returning ones, but they all look like they've been hitting the weight room very hard. I think they've packed it on, and it's going to be needed. I think the Tulane transfer, Santana Hopper, I want to see what he looks like in the tackle position. The App State transfer, Dylan Manuel, I believe. I think I want to see what he's looking like too. That tackle position on defense is going to be so important. As we saw last year, we really were getting hurt, especially early on in the season, by not just the run game, but by designed quarterback runs. I want to see how that defense is going to be able to fly around. LaFau from Texas, of course, all eyes are going to be on him. I just want to see what that looks like, the impact he was able to make at UT, and how that translates in the spring game. But Adam, going off your point with Danny Scudero, have you been watching him play and practice and stuff like that? Because you look at his stats when he was at San Jose and Sacramento, those are unbelievable numbers that he's putting up. Like that, you can't, those aren't numbers that you could ignore. I don't care if he's playing Pop Warner ball or he's in a Division II, if he a mid-major, it doesn't matter to me. Those are incredible numbers. does it look like he's got that shiftiness and ability to just get off the line and get open, kind of like a you know, a Wes Welker, an Amendola type guy?
He's elite at that level. To put him in that category right now is hard to say because he's got to prove it at the power four level, but his low center of gravity gives him this advantage with his quickness, and his hand-eye coordination and hands are just like elite level. So he's got the tools, even though he's not a guy you'd run into at the grocery store and think is a big-time college football player for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but we've had lots of those, you know, like Jeremy Bloom. You'd never look at that. He's a big dip, but, you know, I mean, we had guys back in the 90s, even on the great teams. You look, I know that guy's not a football player, but somebody asked in the chat, what do we know about the defensive line? And I think we don't know anything yet. I'm thinking we're not going to really know until we play another team, to be honest. But, you know, seeing Quincy Wiggins at 295 makes me wonder if any of those other guys have put on some good weight as well. You know, if maybe they're going to, you know, like a Santana Harper at 265 makes me a little concerned. Although his game is quickness and elusiveness, you know, maybe I wouldn't mind seeing him put on another 20 pounds or whatever. So I don't know that we're going to see what we're going to. And again, you know, if the defensive line looks great on Saturday, does that mean the offensive line's not working? I don't know, you know, but I think the defensive line, I liked it. I think we've got some things going on the edge group. I'm a little concerned about the interior two spots, but that remains seen.
Yeah, that seems to be the question in the air. And like you said, William, we're never going to fully be able to see anything truly until we face another opponent with a different jersey who we haven't been practicing against all spring, all summer. There becomes this familiarity with the guys you're going up against. So, you know, you're only going to be able to see so much. I also saw somebody in the chat saying it would appear from the footage he's seen that the defense is not – seemingly to be only relying on man coverage this year.
Yeah.
I know we've been going man coverage heavy or solely man coverage for the last, you know, two or three seasons. Interested to see if we mix in some zone coverage, something like that in there to see if we kind of pull that back.
They're definitely doing that. Marv has pretty much admitted that. Yeah. And so I think that's a great idea. You have to have multiple defenses for different attacks you're going to face throughout the season. You don't want to get too complicated. You don't want to get too multiple, but you need to have an identity with your team.
And that's what they need to establish. Marv has been a defensive coordinator at the Power Four level before, so he knows what he's going up against and what he's seeing. And a little bit of, I'm curious, you know, he's more of a front seven guy, and I'm curious who's his lead guy in terms of the secondary and coming up with coverage to go with fronts and things like that. But I don't know. I think the defense really, again, you know, we all believe that if Marion's offense works the way it's supposed to, it's going to score over 30 points a game. So the defense doesn't have to be great. Doesn't have to be super. It has to be serviceable and has to hold, you know, has to get some stops every now and then, and it's got to hold people under 30. And I think we'll be a pretty good team.
You're exactly right. And timely stops. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the NCAA basketball tournament. There's a lot of points being put up on the board. At the end of the day, the team who is able to make those timely stops at the end of the game, those are the ones who can win, because everyone can score. And if Colorado's looking to score, like you said, William, 30-plus with this go-go offense, which we're all anticipating, it's going to come down to the defense just being able to hold that much off the board. And I think Colorado walks off the field with at least more wins this year than we got last year.
And I think, you know, I think from what I've seen from the various practices and such, that there's a lot more emphasis on pursuit to the ball, getting rid of the ball. There looks to me, I don't know, we look faster to me out there. You know, at every position outside of defensive tackle, which is probably quicker too with guys like Santana Hopper and Ezra Christensen. But we look to me to be faster. Maybe that's that we're, you know, you can play faster when you understand the defense and it's simpler. That's part of it too. But like they're doing, you know, like the other day, Lamont Lester, one of the edges, got an interception. And it was way out by the sideline. So they're not just you know, not that he's up and blocked or whatever, but he was actually dropping back into coverage and covering somebody out in the flat and got an interception. So that's interesting. And, you know, I want to see more of what they're doing with that kind of thing, because a lot of those edge guys really have the size of linebackers, you know, at their 230, 235, 240, whatever. So I think Marv is doing some things with those guys and changes some. It's not going to be just you're coming off the ball every time and setting an edge or rushing the passer.
All right, before we get Will Burnett out of here, since he is our Buffs in the NFL guy, I wanted to go through the NFL Showcase Pro Player results from the Timing Day event in Boulder this past week. Xavier Hill and Sincere Brown improved their draft stock. Yes. Will, was there anything else that kind of stood out to you about this event?
You know, I had, I think when you and I talked, Adam, we did a segment a few months ago, and we were just talking about how this year's Pro Day is going to be different from the past. And we were discussing who was on my board for potential guys who can make that roster or even, you know, get selected. I think from the jump, my pick was Sincere Brown, just from sheer size. He has NFL size. And as we've seen, the NFL, there's such a merry-go-round of receivers that are able to get chances in the NFL. And if you show that you can make plays, you can get on a roster spot and do something special. Now, I did not know that Sincere had 4.3 speed.
Yeah. If you can run 4.3, if you're a 6'5 dude running 4.38, somebody's going to bring you into camp.
Absolutely, William. You said it right there. If you are that tall and you can burn somebody like that, that's about as dangerous as it gets, and a team will give you a chance. I know Xavier Hill, like you said, had a great day. I it appeared that Preston Hodge had a good day. You know, that's a guy who had been kind of up and down at seasons at Colorado. He had great games, and then the next game we were kind of looking to where he was, or maybe assignments, blown assignments, stuff like that. I think he looked comfortable at that pro day too. So it was good to see some of those guys, but I think you can't deny that Sincere's the perennial guy coming out of that Colorado pro day.
Well, I think another one that helped himself was Anquan Barnes. Cause again, you know, 6'5", 320, and he ran a 5.0 40, and, you know, hit a 29-inch vertical and, you know, was reasonably quick in a shuttle drill. You know, somebody's going to bring him in and take a look, you know?
Yeah.
He's been sometimes solid, hasn't really lived up to his expectations, but I think he helped himself with that 40-yard dash, and he had the most bench reps. And, you know, the taller you are, it's harder it is to do the bench because you got longer arms. You got to move the damn thing farther, you know. So I think Anquan Barnes helped himself, and I think also the other guy that kind of jumped out at me a little bit was Keaton Wade with a 4.6 40. What I don't know out of all this information is I'd like to see the actual measurements of everybody, you know, like the height, weight, and particularly with offensive linemen like Xavier Hill, that a lot's going to come down to his arm length. That may sound crazy, but it's a huge deal for offensive linemen to have long enough arms to keep people off your body. So, you know, I remember Joe Garton was a unanimous All-American 2 years in a row and didn't really play in the NFL because arms were too short. So I want to see those measurements, which I haven't seen. And I'm always amused by the height measurements or weight measurements, because it's like, 6 foot, 280. That's not what it said in the program.
No, it never is. It never is. I think they're probably going to list Danny Scudero at 6'1" this year on the program. And I don't know if that'll match. Yeah. So, you know, it's just. That's just football. That's how they do it.
And who the one defensive tackle, I think, one of the interviews was, is there one, Dylan? One of those defensive
tackles. From Pro Timing Day?
No. From one interview last week in practice, after practice.
Dylan Manuel.
Dylan Manuel. They're, he's listed 6'1". I'm like, I'm not sure.
I'm 6'3". I'm quite a bit taller than him.
And I don't know. I just started looking at that backdrop behind them, you know, and there's rows of those logos, and you look at a, you know, like a Andre Giroux is supposed to be 6'4", and here's how tall he is, and then this guy's here. I'm not sure that's one.
What I'm getting from this is they need to change the background during the because they're giving themselves away there. Just one blank slate. We don't need to measure this.
Yeah. But by the same token, you know, I mean, bench bull or block bully was, you know, he was 5'11". They listed him at 6'1", and was perfectly well dominant, frankly, in the middle. So, you know, a guy playing that one technique or the zero technique or a nose tackle at 6', even 5'11", as long as they got the lead and the shorts and at 305, he's got that going. So hopefully he can get that done inside.
Yeah.
Well, it was great having you on the show again this week. We'll have you back on again soon.
Absolutely. It was great to be here. Good to see you guys. Have a good Sunday. Okay, gentlemen.
Appreciate you, Will. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good.
With everything getting more expensive these days, finding something that actually hits and feels like a win, yeah, that matters. We're talking about Taco Bell's new crispy chicken Crunchwrap sliders, a warm flour tortilla filled with premium all-white meat, marinated chicken, seasoned with bold Mexican spices, and tossed in a crunchy tortilla chip coating, freshly prepared pico de gallo, a three cheese blend, and creamy chipotle sauce or jalapeno honey mustard. While the sliders may be small in size, they deliver big time in flavor. Perfect for late nights or when your cravings just won't quit. The new crispy chicken Crunchwrap sliders. Go ahead, slide into something craveable. Live Moss at Taco Bell.
My wife actually got one of those honey mustard Crunchwrap deals from Taco Bell, and there is definitely a lot of flavor in there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Taco Bell. I guess I'm not very highfalutin, but that's me. That's who I am. I like.
You're gonna apologize for that. That's our great sponsor. What are you doing here?
I promise you, during the week,
William. Just say, I live Moss.
I live Moss in my belly. Nobody even mentioned my. I got my new buff helmet nailed to the wall up there.
Oh yeah, okay. Fan's going a little lower today, so we're in a good mood.
Is that what that means? The decor of the room is important, you know. So, getting back to that, you know, we talked about that defensive line. I mentioned that I kind of like the edge position. There's some guys in that edge group that are pretty exciting to me. Toby and Nene, I'm not sure if I got his name right, but then I'm going to ask you to say the next last name because I told you I was going to do it. Vili, let me hear it. You look dead. I think you froze. Uh-oh, I think we got freeze. I got to fill airtime here because Adam's frozen up and we lost him with a quality look on his face there. But anyway, I'm talking about, are you back?
Tafa Tafua.
Yeah.
Bili Tafa Tafua. Bili Tafa Tafua. Bili Tafa Tafua. Bili Tafa Tafua. I wasn't froze. It's catching up now.
Okay. Would you say that 9 times and now it's catching up? Yeah. I like what he and Nene bring to the table as far as being a little bit bigger guys, and when they talk to Hilo about his group and that there's different guys that have different skill sets. I mean, it's quite a varied room, and I don't know if you want to jump into it now, but we added a new guy to that group that's interesting.
Now we're going to get into that after our next ad break. We're going to talk first about our takeaways from week 3 of spring ball. Anything that stood out to you initially? I've got a few notes over here. You mentioned the Lamont Lester Jr. pick in Friday scrimmage, which was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I think I was looking at a little bit of the offense they were filming. I don't know. You know, you're at the point in spring practice, and you get to the same point in fall camp where it's like, I don't know, everything's kind of looking the same.
I have less notes this week than I did the previous two. Yeah.
Right. You're playing against each other. There's nothing that really is jumping out anymore. You know, it kind of gets a little numb after a while. But I liked seeing that Marion is continuing to have in his two-back set. He'll have a big back and a small back, small, fast guy. So, like, I liked for a while they had Damian Henderson out out there with DeKalen Taylor, and that just really presents problems for a defense because you got one guy that can pound you. And although I got to tell you, Damian Henderson, he's got nice vision and very patient runner, and waits for the holes to open and gets up through them. But then he'll punish you when he gets through there. And then, you know,
he's a very uphill runner. He is he? Does he remind you of Chris Brown a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, that same sort of size as well. You know, if he runs like that in games, it'll be a nice season. You know, and of course, you know, we saw DeKalen Taylor, Trackhawk, break a few again this week. I think he's going to be a real menace in this offense. I think it's just that second running back position is just made for him. Especially, you know, if they run that triple option, he's the pitch back, it's going to be back like the days of when you had a J.J. Flanagan who could run like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, DeKalen Taylor was on my notes. Quentin Gibson and Danny Scudero on Wednesday. I mean, those guys were making play after play. I think Hugh is going to put some pressure on some of these incoming vets. He's not going to supplant Scudero in this slot receiver role, but I think Q is going to make some plays this year.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing we talk about. You know, we talk about what do you hope to see or expect to see this Saturday, the spring game. And one of the things I forgot to mention was that, you know, every spring game, there's somebody that jumps out, you know, that came out of nowhere and runs for 100 yards or does some things like that. So keeping an eye out for which guys really – stand out at that particular time. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of different guys on this team still fighting to find their positions. Can't remember what I was going to say. I like watching the competition. I like what that clip we led with from Andre Giroux talking about the players in his group and Sean Kenny and Demetrius Hunter fighting for that center spot. And that's good. You know, the harder you got to fight to win your spot, the better you got to be at any given time. But I'm seeing a lot of, you know, I saw a lot of Leon Bell at left tackle this week. I think they're still trying to figure that out. And Coach Giroux said, yeah, we'd like to see our starting five at the end of spring ball. But you know what? The starting five, I've never seen a starting five come out of spring ball end up being the starting five in game one.
My time, Monty was like their main right tackle last spring.
Right.
And he was a defensive tackle that never saw any action at offensive tackle last year. Now, there was a second transfer portal window last year, so maybe that's a little bit of what goes into that thought process being a bit different than a year ago.
And what's exciting to me on that offensive line is seeing some the young guys that have been programmed in the program for a while with Yaya and Chauncey Gooden and now even Javon McFadden, who hasn't been in the program, but he's also a young guy, and they've shown a lot. Xavier Payne, as a true freshman who's supposed to still be going to high school prom, you know, has done really exciting things, frankly, at tackle and guard. I don't think he'll necessarily be in the mix this fall, but he looks really good for a true freshman.
Yeah, no doubt. How about freshman safety Braylon Edwards? That young man is bringing the wood.
Yeah, he's knocking people out.
you hope that he's keeping his head out of uncomfortable situations, but we saw his face mask one of those days where it got pretty banged up.
Now, you know, back in the day, that reminds me that back in the day, the kind of hitting we'd have under Coach McCartney, and a lot of time, it wasn't uncommon at all to see a linebacker or a safety back in those practices with the face mask, the steel face mask actually caved in, you know. that's the kind of intensity and intensity and hitting that you want to see from a team if you want to see it happen on Saturday too, you know. So I don't know. I saw the clip from Coach Prime saying if you ain't practicing on Tuesday, you're not playing in the game, and that just seems pretty standard. I think that's not too unusual.
Yeah. Preston Ashley had a nice pick in the backfield on Isaac Wilson. On Friday during the scrimmage, it looked like the offense had a good start and then kind of sputtered. I would say the offense won Wednesday's practice. The defense seemed to win Friday's practice based on what they showed us.
Yeah. You know, another guy that I keep seeing, I'm not looking for him, but he just kind of keeps popping up is Fisher Clements at tight end, not necessarily in the passing game, but, you know, he had a really big block on a big run play, and Coach Prime ran over and gave him a big hug. And so he just keeps kind of showing up. I think he had a catch last week as well. And so Zach Atkins had a couple more catches. So it looks like that tight end position is actually going to be a part of the offense for once. Finally.
Yep. Paul Amodia had a nice pick in the end zone. It did get a call back due to a penalty, but you starting to see another cornerback emerge in that mix there. Anything else before we get into our recruiting breakdowns here?
I was looking for Lamprom, but I kept seeing Leifau. Leona Leifau would look like to me like he reads really well and gets up into the hole and then shuts things down. So I like what I'm seeing from him so far. And then
okay.
there's a couple of plays, like, you know, you talk about who'd you just say? You said Braylon Edwards. Man, you know, I've seen Gideon Lamprey come up and lay some dudes on their backside too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because that guy plays, he only has one speed. Maximum.
They changed their recruiting philosophy in the portal. It seems like it's encouraging. We're all very cautiously optimistic, I think, after 3-9, right? That's kind of how I view things.
Yeah, you know, we were 4 wins a season before in the first year, and we got 9 the next year. So things can change. I think especially with the transfer portal, things can change dramatically pretty quickly. You know, with all these guys coming in, you just got to get them on the same page. And that didn't happen very well last year.
All right. We got some good recruiting breakdown coming up for you up next.
Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud.
All right, welcome back into the show. We are going to break down some film here, and we're going to start with the newest Buffalo, who is Sam Gotti. He just committed to the Buffaloes yesterday as a JUCO addition. And did you get a chance to watch this at all, William?
Yeah, I broke it down. I got notes on every play. It's not the best film in the world, but they do a good job of pointing him out. And he does stand out, you know. So, like, I slowed it down. If you're down in the right-hand corner there, you can slow down the settings thing. You can actually slow it down.
Where do you want it at?
I have it at 0.5.
Yeah.
And then take it back. One thing I want everybody to watch for as you're watching this film is one of the things you look for in a defensive lineman is those first two steps. And so in this case, you see he's explosive. His first step, he launches like flat, almost to the ground, like a world-class sprinter. And so when you're talking about a speed rush, hold on a second just here. So this one, if you're doing a speed rush from the outside, the old saying is you ought to be hip to hip with the offensive tackle after one step and past him in two steps if you're really going to be effective. And so he's really very explosive and quick. Now, the thing I want to say, though, is he's playing in a JUCO league. So he's playing a lot of junior college teams. And I will tell you that the talent of the offensive line here is not good. But still, nevertheless, you can see a lot of things he does. So watch this one and watch those first two steps. And so he takes this on and really uses his hands well, keeps that guy off him and gets off him. He kind of starts to go inside there. I think he was supposed to have contained. I'm not sure he's going to be able to push around Big 12 lineman quite like that. But this one, he comes up the middle. And what I like is his tenacity, and he stays with things all the way through. And this one I like a lot. Really gets off the ball. Let me see if this one. Well, there's a pull here, and the pulling guard just never gets to him. He just runs right past him and gets into the backfield. Kind of hard because it's so small. See that pulling guard to me would not play for me because his effort is crap. But nevertheless, what I like about Gaddy is that he's coached well, and he does what he's supposed to do. And see, now those two linemen pull, and he goes right off their butts. And if you run that back, you teach the defensive end when those linemen disappear, you got to see, freeze it right there. Now see those two, the two offensive linemen that were also in that circle, they're both going to turn and go to their right, and he's going to come right off their butts. And if you do that, you're going to make a play a lot of times. See them both take off, and he stays right to the line and comes in and looks like not quite a safety. I thought there was a goal line. Here again, that guard tried to pull, and he just ran right past him. He's got really explosive first couple of steps. This is supposed to be a double team, and I don't know what the heck the wing back is doing, but it's just ridiculous. But he's smart enough to take on the one guy and split the double team and then run this guy down. One thing he's got to work on is his tackling. He does miss some tackles. Now he's at a five technique, and he just this is what I'm talking about right here. If you take that one back, his explosive get off, he just blows this guy up, almost knocks him on his backside. They're right there, and that's what I'm talking about. One step, he's equal. Even with the guy, and two steps, he's gone. So that's what I'm talking about, that explosive get off. And if you run that one back, and if you focus on that first step he takes, well, this is a different one. But if you take it all the way back to where it starts. Now watch this first step, and he's flat to the ground. He's launched out of here. He's got such an advantage over that tackle just off the first few steps, and that's what you're really looking for in a pass rusher, is that explosiveness off the initial steps. And here, did a good job. He took on, so they tried to run like an ISO here, like an old school lead back and running back behind him. He just blew up the fullback like he wasn't even there, and then still made the play. Here again, he's just running down the line exactly the way he's supposed to do. Now watch the effort, because right now he's just crossing the 45, and he's just coming out of the, he just ran this guy down from behind about 20 yards downfield. And you got to love that kind of motor and that kind of effort. Now I kind of lost him in here, but he had dropped back into pass coverage, and now he's going to run over and make the play on this screen pass. So he's got really good vision. He seems to understand offenses pretty well. Read that one pretty quick. So here he had been rushing the passer, and here again, this guy doesn't go out of bounds like everybody expected, and he turns on the jets and runs him down. Here he's going to come up and run him down from behind, which is really kind of not a thing you expect to see from a defensive end, running people down way down the line like that. Now he plays at a university. He played at a university in New York. Well, still there now, but at University of New York City. He was at Rutgers for a while. but he's at Monroe University, and they play a JUCO schedule. So like they played Snow Junior College from Utah, who's usually pretty good. So the competition there is not the highest in the world, but there's a lot of good things to see from him. And I you know, he's 6'3", 235, 240, and he's quick. And, you know, there's no downside to bringing him in as long as he's got the same mentality as everybody else and bring in and have more competition and more depth. So I think it's a good pickup. I don't think it's a game changer or anything, but a nice, solid pickup. And hopefully they can find a couple big defensive tackles that way too.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, if you can get two defensive tackles that are like even, you know, the same level or maybe a tick above Sam Gaudy, you would be pretty excited as a Buffs fan because there is no spring transfer portal window this year.
Right. So they have to be graduate transfers. So he's going to graduate from get a degree from that university here. So, you know, that's all you got really left now, or anybody that's still in the portal that got missed. And you got to figure they've been picked over.
Yeah, so you're not going to do backflips. There's no Travis Hunters or Shedeur Sanders that are coming in before the 2026 season.
But there are guys, you know, and this guy is going to be fifth or sixth year or fifth year, I guess. And you know, you never know when a guy's gonna lights are going to come on. Like he played 3 years at Rutgers and didn't see much playing time, but then he went there and did pretty well. Now can he commit that to Power Four level? We'll see, you know, but we're not counting on him to come in and be the starter or anything. We're counting on him to come in and be a competitor for playing time, maybe a pass rush specialist. I think he could be a guy who could be very dangerous on obvious passing downs. So, you know, he's just a guy you add to the mix and see if he makes us better.
Yep. Next up, we're going to break down James Harris Jr., who took an official visit or unofficial visit with the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yes. Real quick, Northside Roger on the chat says, talking about Gaddy, his first step is good, but the move after a step needs work on it. Yeah, I noticed that. And for example, on that one play, he needs to run the circles, which is a common defensive line drill. You have inward lean and you keep going, and you would have got that quarterback right off the bat. But yeah, he definitely needs to work on what he does after that initial step, but he does use his hands well.
Yeah. So Houston edge prospect, James Harris Jr. He is down to North Carolina and Colorado at this point. Visited the Buffaloes this past weekend, said Colorado is number one on his list. And if his trip to North Carolina this coming weekend doesn't blow him away, I would not be surprised if he is a Buffs commit before too long. Let's get into his film a little bit here. Measured in
6'2", 2.25.
Yeah.
Yes. 6'2", 225 defense, and he plays with his hand on the ground and exclusively in this video. And he's explosive and quick and also got some nice hands. What cracks me up is how much better quality the video is, though. So he's number 11, and they'll have him highlighted there. Plays a little bit upright, but has good quickness. Can't see him yet. But he's really quick. Avoids blocks a lot. Hard to say what kind of competition he's up against here, but that's a nice little swim move there to get past that guy. But he's another one with a good motor. He's number 11. He's on the line, not the guy that's off the line right there. So he basically beat two blockers to get that sack. So just remember, you're looking for number 11 each time. So he's kind of raw. He needs some work. I think he's got a frame that could put a lot more weight on it. That's a nice play. Got off that block and stayed home. And because they're counting on him to just run down the line on that, and he did his job and stayed home. There he got his hands up in that guy, nice push pull, and got him off, got the block off of him. That's nice awareness. He realized that it was some kind of a screen thing that was going out there, and he just stopped his pass rush and dropped back and blocked and caused an interception. So he's not just playing like crazy. That's a nice little swim move there. It's a little late getting off the ball on that one. So again, I think he's relatively raw, and he's going to need some time to develop. And, but he's got what you need to develop him into a good player. That play I love right there. If you could take that one back.
Sure.
So he does a little. He does a little hand. He does a little chop with his inside hand to keep that guy's hand off of him, and then he clubs him so hard he knocks him on his backside. This is just like chop, club, club, club. And that's just a nice dual move. That's like two moves. That's like a boxing combination, you know. Chop that hand down and then club the other shoulder and just knocked him on his backside. That was a really sweet move. Yeah, and that offense not going to work real well with him in your backfield at the, just right off the snap. He just does a really good job of avoiding blocks and getting through seams in the line. There's a really that swim move again right there, which is really well done. Again, splits. You know, he's too quick for most of those high school tackles trying to step out on that. Never quite. Oh, there he is. I couldn't quite find him on that. But there again, I love that kind of hustle. Doesn't give up on a play. And there again, he gets up into the underneath, has good leverage on his on the pads on that guy and stands him up and knocks him backwards. Another good use of the hands and good pad level. Again, right down the line. Doesn't get too far afield. So there's a lot to like there. He's not the most physically imposing specimen at 6'2", 225. But he's got that kind of quickness and explosiveness that I think can get some things done. You know, he's playing exclusively in a looks like a even front there in high school. So obviously quite a few people like him. I think he's going to end up being bigger because he looks like he's got a lot of room in that frame to add some weight.
Yeah, he'd be a good get for the Buffaloes. William, anything else on your mind? This was a fun show. It's good. It's good. Bring in Will Burnett and kind of get a fresh perspective a little bit.
You know, some I was just looking at the chat again, and Northside Roger says that Neely was talking about they're working on some guys to join if they can work out some credit issues. You know, so like there are still guys out there. You still got to try to get them in. So I don't know. I think. It's a fun time. I think they had a lot of good possible recruits in this last week. They had some linemen that I really liked, some defensive big defensive tackles, and some interesting looking off linemen as well. So that's good to see.
Yeah. Well, happy Easter out there. I should have led off with that at the beginning of the show for anybody out there that celebrates the holiday. I've enjoyed the religious aspect of Coach Prime, and I get that some part of that rubs people the wrong way if they don't, they're not believers, and you know, it is what it is. But today is a big day for the folks that believe in God.
Well, I think that people, you know, you gotta give people, you gotta allow people to be different. Everybody's not gonna be, and so you know, no point being upset with somebody else believes this, that, or the other thing, as long as they're not doing anybody any harm. But I liked what some, you know, several of these recruits that came in on visits this week were talking about the closeness of everybody in it at CU, and you know, they were all thrilled with their conversations with Coach Prime and with the coaching staff and everything else. So I think that's all looking good, and hopefully we'll have a fun day next Saturday.
Yeah, no, it should be fun. I can't wait to recap the spring game with you. You gonna be free next Sunday?
No, we're going to have to do it on Monday or something.
Monday. Okay. We can do that. Yeah. So Monday we will recap the spring game on a new Buff Stampede Radio Live. William, it's always a lot of fun catching up with you.
As you as well, my friend. Have a great day. Thank you to everybody. You
too. Tuned in. Yep.
Yep.
Thank you.
They like my Colorado swag, cause when I'm in that black, I don't really know just how to act. And when I'm in that gold, you know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Man, I swear, I think they like my Colorado swag, my Colorado swag. Yeah. It's pushing 180. See you later, baby. Colorado Army with soldiers like the Navy. Yeah. And voters where we stationed, patiently awaiting. Whoa. When I hit the field, it's so hard to behave. Yeah. I'm Colorado swagging as the crowd do the wave. Look into my eyes, I can tell that you afraid. Uh-huh. Cause you know we finna hit ya. Hit ya. Hey. You on your own now, why you watching the official? Yeah. You just better hope you make it to the next whistle. Yeah. And we ain't playing with ya, you can get. In the middle of the ring, throwing blows, knocking down team after team. They like my Colorado.